Welcome to the Rad Money Podcast. We're Rebecca
and Dylan, husband and wife and financial coaches for married couples.
Do you and your spouse want to reach financial freedom and start building wealth, but you're not sure where to start?
Have you tried to budget and pay off debt, yet you struggle to see your net worth actually increase?
Rad Money is the finance podcast that helps millennial married couples get on the same page about one of the toughest topics they will face in their marriage.
Our goal is to help you and your spouse work together to reach your financial goals and strengthen your marriage along the way.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Rad Money Podcast. Since Earth Day is just around the corner, today we are talking about saving money by going green.
I'm looking forward to this episode because, I mean, of course, saving money is really important. You know, we're financial coaches, but we also really have a passion for the outdoors, and talking about conservation and environmentalism is just something that we really enjoy.
Yeah, really a huge philosophy of ours in general when it comes to our money, when it comes to our planet, is just stewardship, taking care of what's ours and managing it properly and responsibly so that it lasts a lifetime, whether it's our wealth or the health of our planet.
And before we get into today's episode, I want to quickly read a review from one of our previous clients, Dave. I worked with him a while back, but his review says that he connected with R&D a few months ago and Dylan went right to work to help recalibrate my budget, assess my monthly cash flow, and provide the best suited options for saving and paying down debt. There's no fluff, no solicitation for supplemental financial products to buy. It was just a straightforward strategy. Dylan came across as personable and genuine, and I appreciate his attentiveness to the never-ending questions. I highly recommend their services. Truly refreshing to work with them. So believe it or not, Dave was actually our very first client. And so thank you, Dave, for writing that review and just being the person who was the first one to work with us in our business.
Yeah, and even though it's been a while, we keep in touch with Dave,
yes.
Which is awesome. And we know that he's probably still listening to this podcast. He's a very close follower of ours. And it was just so awesome to have that first person. I remember when I got my first client, to have those first couple people who we were able to help them and they helped us. We helped them get their finances in order and they helped us really start our business.
Yeah, prove that we could do it.
Prove that people really did need help in this way. They wanted help in this way. And we were able to help them really reach their goals and get on a really solid track. So thanks so much. If you're listening, Dave, wherever you are, thanks so much for that review.
Yeah, Dave, thanks for the continued support, and I hope you're doing well. With that, let's talk about today's topic, which is saving money while going green.
Yeah, so we figured this is the perfect episode to pair up right before Earth Day. This is also Financial Literacy Month, as you guys might know. So every year about this time, we really like to put out a lot of content that talks about these two things together, environmentalism and saving money, because there's so many places where these two intersect.
Yes.
By looking at ways to save money by going green, it actually, for me at least, I found it to be way more motivating to know that not only am I doing what's right for me and what is financially responsible, but what is also making me a better steward of this planet and to take care of our environment and ensure that I'm not making a bigger impact than is really necessary.
Yeah, there's definitely an intersection between personal finance and environmentalism. You know, when we think of personal finance and the way that we manage our money properly, we're talking about things like being intentional with our finances, spending our money based on our values.
Yeah, really, when we're talking about personal finance and environmentalism, what they really have in common when you boil it all down is living intentionally. It's a matter of being very thoughtful about how you spend your money and the impact that those purchases have, both on your wallet and on our environment as a whole. So when you start to look at things through that lens, that's when you can really start to see ways to save more money, either by buying less or buying better, just being smarter, making better financial decisions that put you in a better position as well as and not having as much of an impact on our environment. So concepts such as money mindfulness and making really informed financial decisions align with minimalism, sustainability, and living a more environmentally conscious life.
But there's a lot of reasons why people think that they can't go green. And the first reason is that people think that going green is expensive. They think that they have to replace everything that they own and that everything that has a green tag on it is more expensive in general.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which there is some truth to that thought. Like green things can be more expensive, quote unquote, green things can be more expensive, but it doesn't always have to be expensive to go green.
Yeah, if you're spending more money by going green, you're kind of doing it wrong, in my opinion. I mean, take that for what it's worth, but you really should be able to save money in this journey. It's all about using less and using things that are reusable and all of those things that we'll kind of get into that should save you money. It might be more expensive up front for a lot of things, but in that way, we view that as an investment. Again, we'll talk a little bit more into this, but going green really should not be more expensive overall. Once you start to look at things more as price per use and longevity and quality, et cetera, it really should be saving you money.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the thing is, if you are saying to yourself, I need to go green, and that means I need to replace everything that I own that is not green, that is actually
not green at all.
Not green at all, because you should use what you own. You should, until it doesn't work anymore, until it doesn't last.
Use it till it dies.
Exactly. Because that is actually the green thing to do, is to say, like, what do I have here in front of me? Can I continue to use this thing to the very end?
And it's
that
is a green choice. It's the greenest choice.
Exactly.
It's the absolute greenest choice, is to use what you currently have and to use it to exhaustion. But if you are going out and buying an electric vehicle because you think that that's a greener choice, when you have a perfectly operating vehicle already, well, A, that's not very environmentally friendly, actually, and it's definitely not saving you any kind of money.
Right.
So it's obviously costing you a lot of money. So now we're getting into greenwashing, we're getting into lifestyle creep, we're getting into other things that are actually motivating you to make that purchase, not making a green choice. Because the greenest choice is use what you get.
Exactly. Exactly.
Another really common objection to going green is this is just hard to do. And while maybe in the past that felt like the case, it felt like to go green, maybe you need to make a lot of sacrifices. You definitely needed to make a lot of lifestyle changes. And while that's kind of true, a lot of the lifestyle swaps are super simple for you to make that just help you reduce how much you are buying. It's like single-use items, which are just a total waste of money. They're absolutely awful for your wallet. They're awful for the environment. And no, I'm not coming for your straws, but there are a lot of things we really just genuinely do not need to throw those away. We do not need to be using single use. But the biggest resistance here that I'm really getting at is that it's hard to do.
Right. It's complicated. There's an education factor that's involved with it. And as we go through this episode, there's one lens in particular that you can view almost every financial decision through. And it's a financial decision that will save you money and the environment.
Yeah, definitely. It really shouldn't be that hard to do, especially with how much information there is available now of how to make some green swaps that can save you a lot of money. It's really easy to learn how to do these things that are just part of your daily life. Like, one of the things that we do is just, instead of using paper towels all the time, we use the Swedish dishcloths, you know, and they just go right into the wash after a day. So we spent $5 on these cloths over a year ago. We cycle them through all of the time. We don't buy paper towels anymore, mm-hmm. right? So those are the trade-offs, the kind of the swaps that you're looking at, that it might not seem like it has a huge impact, but it does add up both in your bottom line and in how much waste you're sending to the landfill.
And the last objection that we wanted to talk about is that a lot of people think that it's not worth it. It's almost a form of nihilism. What impact can I have as a single individual when these giant corporations are polluting and just dumping everything into the rivers and killing the rainforest, on and on and on? Like, what is the point? Though, a thing I like to think about when it comes to the financial side of this is we get to vote with our dollars.
Yeah.
So we tell companies what we like and don't like. We influence the economy by the way that we spend our money. I think that's a really important piece to think about here. I can refuse to buy bottled water and make sure I bring my own bottle with me, and I'm not helping the bottled water company. I can refuse to put money towards a company that I know is doing ethically wrong things. So our dollars are a way to vote every day. You don't have to wait for election day to vote. You can vote with your money. And that will influence what companies do and the choices that they make. If you refuse to buy products, they won't make them anymore. That's supply and demand.
Yeah. I also think that it's just lazy to say that it's not worth it because, grand scheme of things, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. I think that's very lazy. I think it's an excuse more than anything. But the antithesis of that is to take pride in knowing that even though the world around you is maybe not making the best choices, you're doing your best.
Right.
Now, I'm not an extremist when it comes to environmentalism. I'm not about taking 20-second showers. I'm not about, like, sacrificing your quality of life to some crazy extreme and apologizing for living. That's not what we're talking about at all.
No, definitely not at all.
We're just talking about being a good steward where you can and making intentional living choices, intentional purchasing choices to lessen your impact. And like you said, vote with your dollars. Don't spend money with organizations who you know are polluting the river upstream. That's really how you should be looking at this. So now let's talk about ways that you can save money by going green.
Right. And so there's the classic three R's, but we're going to add three more to it today. So the classic three R's are the reduce, reuse, recycle.
Yeah, we've all heard these. If you're a millennial listening to this podcast, then you probably grew up learning about this in school and the ways to be more environmentally friendly, right? So you probably grew up hearing these three R's. But so what we want to talk about today is how these actually can help you save money, how they can help you spend less. So reduce is very obvious, right? So reduce how much stuff you buy. Do not be a hyper consumer.
I think that's a huge point here, right? Is that hyper consumption is bad for your wallet, but it's also bad for the environment. So if we just reduce how much we're buying, it's a win for both sides of that equation.
Yeah. And I think a bunch of people justify their hyper consumption by saying that they recycle. I think a lot of people feel as though recycling is checking that environmentally friendly box. I think it got so much attention in the past.
Yeah.
They think that's enough. I'm environmentally conscious. They think that it's kind of almost an excuse or a pass for being a hyper consumer, but it isn't.
No, it's not at all. Actually, recycle probably at this point is one of the least viable options when it comes to the environmentally friendly stuff. China's not accepting as much of our quote recyclable material anymore to reuse. So by reducing, we're ultimately eliminating the need to have to recycle in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so many things that go into that. And then also just the carbon footprint in general of the recycling as well that goes into it. So really the best case scenario here is to reduce consumption overall. Again, we're not talking shrinking down and apologizing for existing.
We're not saying have a minimal existence.
Yeah. Don't have any fun. Don't have anything nice. We're not saying that at all. We're just saying that reducing how much you buy, the quantity of what you buy, is really powerful. Reusing, very similar. So like we said earlier, use what you have.
Right. You brought up single use earlier, and that's a great example, is avoiding things like single use, that the whole purpose of single use is to go into the landfill, use it once and throw it away. And so if you just continue to reuse something over and over again, you give it so much more life.
Yes, exactly. So buying things that are reusable. And this is not the Stanley Cup where you buy one, but then now you've got to buy them all because you just want all the different colors.
Right.
So that is something that we see so much with greenwashing. And they're like, oh, you have one, now get them in every color.
It defeats the purpose of what it was for originally. Yeah.
Completely defeats the purpose. So you can invest in buying something that is reusable, but then don't go and buy it in every color. Not only is that not cost effective because you're obviously spending more money, but it's also got a bigger impact on the environment because it takes energy resources to produce those things.
Yeah. But in addition to reduce, reuse, recycle, there are three other ways that you can be environmentally friendly, which coincidentally all begin with an R.
Yes.
So the next one I really love, which is repair things, right? Like if you buy something and you can repair it, it's cheaper to fix things than it is to buy brand new.
It's definitely cheaper.
Yeah.
It saves you so much money.
And so we've done this so many times with just a lot of things throughout the house and just our personal belongings, but repairing is actually such a rewarding experience.
Oh, it is the most gratifying thing. It's like getting the ultimate coupon code.
Yeah.
You know, like, because you're just like, heck yeah, you know, I get to keep using this thing. And it's just as good as it was. And it's really fun. It gives you a lot of, I don't know, pride, self-confidence.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that I think of is we were out road biking and one of my shoes delaminated.
Oh, that's
so
right.
The part that clipped into the bike, totally delaminated from the shoe. And I looked up how to repair it and it cost us $6 in some epoxy. And 5 minutes watching a YouTube video later, I had repaired these shoes.
Yeah.
And they're totally good again. And I mean, what, a brand new pair of road bike shoes would easily be $150.
Oh, easy. Absolutely. And you're still using them to this day. And that was a couple years ago.
Right.
So it's extending the life so much more. So where you start to look at things, if you do start to look at things in terms of cost per use, if any time you can extend the life of a purchase is going to make that cost per use less and less and less. But we've done this so many times, and a lot of it is definitely outdoor gear.
Oh, absolutely.
We've really learned how to do that, especially in our time working in a mountaineering shop. There was tons of repairs. That's been really common for sure.
I think it goes into the decision-making when you make the initial purchase, too. I mean, there's just so much cheap junk out there, and cheap junk is unrepairable.
Yeah.
So if you can afford the higher quality thing, then higher quality things typically are more repairable. And you can fix them.
Well, and it definitely becomes more cost effective to just repair instead of replace.
Exactly.
But when you're buying such cheap crap that it becomes too close in price to be worth it to you.
Exactly.
To pay the money to repair it. So not only is it quality enough to be repaired, but is it worth it? You might as well just replace it. That is a bad R. Replace is a bad R. That's not going to save you money.
That's your last option.
It's not going to be better for the environment. So I think that that's where our economy and consumption as a whole has really shifted. Is like, well, it just costs so little. It's not worth the quote unquote hassle of me fixing this, so I'll just replace it.
Right.
And that's just, it's bad for your wallet. It's bad for the environment.
Well, I think of the time that a good example of that was when the car got totaled.
Yeah.
And it was just, the insurance company was like, oh, it's just cheaper to give you the money than it is to fix this vehicle. Yeah. And that's a great example of.
It broke my heart.
Yeah. It's a good example of when replacing ends up being the more financially sound thing to do, but it's not necessarily the most environmentally thing to do.
Yeah, definitely not. Okay, so then there's refuse. So I think refuse is kind of akin to reduce. Mm-hmm. A lot of times what people are talking about when it comes to refusing is refusing those single-use items that are definitely going to just turn into waste.
Yeah.
But it can also just be refusing to spend money on things that you know you're going to have to replace soon.
Right. Yeah, just replacing something for the sake of replacing it. You know, cell phones are a good example there, right? Like, oh, you could buy a new cell phone because you're due for the upgrade, but is that thing still working really well? It's already paid off.
Absolutely.
You don't have a payment. You're saving money and you're not throwing away something that's perfectly functional into the landfill, which brings us to the last one, which is repurpose, which I would think is similar to reuse.
Yeah, I definitely think it's similar to reuse, but repurpose, it's like reusing something, but not for what it was initially intended for.
Giving it a new life.
Giving it a new life, rethinking it, looking at it from a different angle. For instance, when we were starting our garden these past couple of years, one thing that I'll do, instead of buying a whole bunch of little seed pods to start our seeds in, I instead will just use things around the house. So it's not uncommon to see a lot of gardeners online doing the toilet paper roll hack, using newspaper, or one thing I like to do is cut milk cartons in half and utilize those. So that's not at all what it was intended for. However, it is waste that my household does create, and I'm using it a new way, a second way, that just helps me get more life, more purpose out of that item.
Yeah, when you reuse something or repurpose it like that, it's almost as if you've cut the cost in half or the impact in half, because it originally had this purpose of being a container, like a milk container, but now it's serving the purpose as holding soil and putting plants in it. So you've cut the cost and the environmental impact in half. If you used it 3 or 4 times, then that environmental impact per use goes down.
Yes, I think that's a very good way to think about your impact and how using things that can be reused or repurposed can not only have a decrease in the cost per use, but the environmental impact per use. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really powerful way to look at both of those things and to filter your choices through those lens. What is the cost per use and what is the impact of this per use? I love that. So these are the 6 R's of being environmentally friendly. Out of those 6, the 2 that have the biggest impact on your wallet are going to be repair and reduce.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we were talking about, like if you can repair things, you extend the life, you're reducing the cost of how much it's going to be on your wallet. So that's awesome. It's environmentally and financially responsible to repair what you own.
Yeah, and then reduce is just incredibly powerful because most of us really are buying more than we need.
Yeah, I think especially when you think about the thought of my needs, what do I truly need?
Yeah.
And you start to really focus your financial decisions based off of true priorities. You don't need that much to live and enjoy life.
Yeah, clarifying the difference between needs and wants is something that is paramount when you're trying to really get a hold of your finances. You want to improve your financial situation. You're starting the budgeting process, really getting crystal clear on the difference between things that are needs and things that are wants is really critical to help you figure out, how am I going to start to save money? Where can I save money? What can I do? And the same applies when you want to live a greener life, when you want to lessen your impact and really be a better steward of our environment, then it can be really helpful to put your purchases through that filter. Is this something that I truly need, or is this just something that I want? Now, again, not saying you can't have things that you want. We're just saying that sometimes by putting it through that filter, you can choose, you know what? I really don't need that. And it's not that strong of a want. So I'm going to save the money. I'm going to not buy this.
Right. Yeah. How many times are our financial decisions based on impulse?
Oh my gosh.
You know, so it's just much. Like the hyper consumption is not because people are thinking about their needs and wants. They're just thinking about wants. They're just making impulse decisions. And if you really just slow down for a moment and think about it, what you truly need, and if this thing is going to really bring value to your life, your decision making can be so much more different for the finances and the environment.
Yeah, so there's really five questions that we encourage people to ask themselves before they make a purchase of any kind, but definitely if you're trying to save money and want to be more environmentally friendly. So the first question is, will this purchase add value to my life? That's something you kind of just hit on. Second is, this item quality and will it stand the test of time? So again, this is a financial question and an impact question.
Yeah, I love the quality over quantity lens when it comes to our financial decisions.
It's a huge philosophy for our lifestyle.
Yeah. When it comes to making your purchases, I love to talk about furniture when it comes to the quality quantity thing.
Yeah, it's a great example.
Because you can go to Wayfair and buy some POS desk or a piece of furniture.
Particle board.
Yeah, it's not made of quality materials. And at some point in a couple years, you're going to have to throw it away.
If even that long.
Yeah, because it's going to start falling apart. It doesn't hold up to the wear and tear of life. And so a couple of years down the road, you buy another one. And then a couple more years down the road, you replace that again. And you continue that process over and over again. And so
there's that word, replace.
Replace.
Let me just replace this.
And, you know, we get to throw it away and it goes to a landfill and we never see it. But that pile gets bigger and bigger. Meanwhile, if you just spent maybe 3-4 times the amount of money,
you might invest.
Yeah, we're going to call it an investment. But if you ended up buying a very nice handmade desk made of actual wood, it's going to last your entire life. And it's something that you can pass on to your kids and it'll become an heirloom piece. I love thinking about stuff like that. And so quality is always going to beat quantity when it comes to your financial decisions, for sure.
Exactly. And like you said, that heirloom level of quality, and that's why we frame the question the way we do, of will this stand the test of time?
Yeah.
And that also, I think, really taps into trends. So we don't buy things that are super trendy. We buy things that we're like, no, this is classic. This is not really going to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That is the way that we do it, because we don't want to replace it just because it fell out of fashion.
Right.
That is not a sustainable thing for your finances or the environment. The third question is, does this purchase align with my values? So like we were mentioning earlier, you get to vote with your dollars. Is buying this thing actually in line with the things that you say that you believe, the things that you say that you stand for? And are you putting money towards something that actually, again, matters to you? Or is this a flighty, impulsive choice? The fourth question, is this item necessary or can I do without? There's the needs versus wants.
Yep,
right?
Exactly.
Do I actually need this? And then finally, does making this purchase align with my goals for the future? So every financial choice that you make is going to move you either closer to or further from your goals. So that means every time you pull out your credit card or every time you click add to cart, that is either going to move you closer to your ideal life or not. Point of this is not to tell you no. The point is that you make very intentional decisions with how you spend your money.
Right. Like we said at the beginning of the episode, it's all about being intentional. To make a financially wise decision is being intentional. To think about how our purchases impact the environment is intentional.
Yeah. Being a good steward of your money, of the environment, is something that you have to make a choice to do it. And it takes thought. It takes practice. But it's not hard. Even if it's slightly inconvenient, there's still a lot of value in it. And so if you're resistant just to making those sorts of changes, know that it really truly can be worth it. And it is fulfilling in a lot of other ways. But it also can save you a lot of money. And if it isn't saving you money, then you're probably just being marketed to.
Right.
Honestly, I mean, just to be completely straightforward, these principles are very simple. And it's about buying less, not buying more. And so if you're trying to go green, then you can definitely save money by going this route as opposed to, let me just buy something that's going to make me greener. That is not the way to be green at all. And that's why you might think, oh, this is way too expensive. I can't do this.
Yeah. And if you're looking for some more specific examples of what you can do to be green and save green, we have a great blog that outlines some of the stuff that we talked about today, but actually gives you some actionable steps that you can take in your day-to-day life so that you can start taking those steps to save money and reduce your impact on the environment. So we'll drop the link for that specific blog in our show notes for this episode. And if you want help being a better steward with your finances, don't forget we offer the free strategy session to help you be better with your money. Check out the link. It's in the show notes.
But that's all we have for you this week. And until next time, I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Dylan.
And we're Rad Coaches.